It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And once again, Coach, we have an in-studio guest on Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach.
Yeah, this guy was just floating down the street, so I grabbed him off of the monsoon we got going on out here, pulled him in, and we're going to be meeting him really soon. We have our rink owner, John Dunlap, coming up next.
I cannot wait to talk to John Dunlap on Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. We are brought to you by Pinnacle Racing. Thank you so much, Jimmy Blair. Thank you, Pinnacle Racing. Find them at PinnacleRacing.com. And big shout out to Jimmy for what he was able to put on a couple of weeks ago in Atlanta at the Spring Fling. I know, Coach, we want to actually sit down and do a Spring Fling recap because it really is such an awesome event that a lot of skaters were able to make it to. So, Jimmy, we're going to give you that here in a little bit. Maybe you can join us for that episode as we talk about the Spring Fling. Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach, John Dunlap, is next. Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet too. So here's what you want to do. Check out PinnacleRacing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers-themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at PinnacleRacing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like 5 ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
We always say find our shows on Podomatic, on iTunes, but make sure you subscribe. It's super easy. You can actually go to our Podomatic page. You just look for Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. We have so many episodes on there with so many of the heavy hitters in the sport, so many of the beginner athletes in the sport, so many coaches, so many people that you would just want to sit down and listen to. And what the best part is you can actually subscribe. Then, Coach, you get an email whenever there's a new episode.
Exactly. As soon as we put a show up, instantly I get an email, and I only get one email. So if I make a bonehead move and I delete it, too bad, so sad, it doesn't come back. They don't hit me up with any commercials or nothing. That's why we're here.
And one thing you can do as well, like our Facebook page, just look for Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. So much great information there. And we are going to talk with John Dunlap, who is in the studio with us. Yes!
All right.
Now,
finally.
Coach, I know you want to give a little bit of an introduction here before we actually dive into what we want to dive into with John, which is so much that we want to dive into with John.
Exactly. So most people call him John Dunlap. I call him Dad. I call him Coach. And I've called him some other names that I can't say on this microphone in the past when I had to sit down and I was a little youngster. So anyways, John Dunlap is our rink owner. And I'm always praising him no matter where I go because I honestly feel like we have the best rink owner. That's no slam on all the other rink owners out there, but he's my personal rink owner. And I love him to death because he appreciates his rink as well as the speed team. So we're going to dive into John and we're going to dive into his past, the beginning, and we're going to take it all over to where we are.
So, John, I think everyone is familiar with the Bells Skating Rink in New Haven, Indiana. It's one of those names that when you say Bells, everyone in the skating community just knows what that is. So we want to get a little bit of the backstory with the rink. Basically, how did things start?
Okay. It all started actually in 1913. It was called Cuckoo's Dance Hall.
Cuckoo's Dance Hall.
Yes, yes.
Wait, so we actually are over 100 years beginning with Cuckoo's Dance Hall.
Yes. It's been a...
That's why I can two-step
history.
So good.
It is.
I always wondered who was here the longest, us or Coney Island. I don't know. It might be pretty close there. But, it started out as Cuckoo's Dance Hall. In 1926, they made a skating rink out of it. And, of course, it's called Bell Skating Rink, okay? And Joe Bell... was related to my parents. That was Annabelle and Joe Bell. And Joe passed away, and then that's how our family got into it. Anna wanted my dad to actually run the skating rink.
Yeah.
And he said, with option to buy it. So here we are today.
So why not change it to Dunlap's rink?
Oh, you get people that come out there. I'm out there working in the summertime, and I'll have people come by that met back in the Depression, say, "Hey, John, you know," they'll pull into the rink and say, "Geez, I met my wife out here back, you know,
oh my gosh, yes,
before I was born."
Yes.
And I'm old, but
he is old.
And they say, "Well, can we come in and look?" You know, I said, "Yeah," and you know, just a lot of memories for a lot of people. And
did you know the Bell family? Or was you too little?
Oh, you did know. Oh yeah.
Okay.
I was young. I was probably, you know, 9, 10 years old, maybe at the oldest.
Was he your uncle or?
Yeah, it was my mom's uncle.
Okay, so you called him Uncle Joe.
We always called him Uncle Joe. His real name was Joe Blimiamo or something. He couldn't even come over from Italy. I don't think he could speak English, you know, but
wow.
Yeah, he was
That's amazing.
He was successful. He was a rink operator.
And you know, I really think that for a lot of people who have wondered, well, if the last name is Dunlap, why is it Bells?
Yeah.
There's the answer.
There you go. There you go.
So originally it was like an open pavilion, wasn't it? No walls?
It was an open pavilion, yes. It was, I got some pictures now at the rink that, it's amazing. I imagine Highway 30 was probably a dirt road back then, I would think.
Right.
But,
it's really cool when you go back and
it's really interesting. I have a lot of people, and I had some pictures posted there in our entranceway, and we're getting them kind of fixed up, and because I'd hate for that stuff to go bad. It's pretty historical, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the rink has been a big part of my life, and as with coaching and everything else, you know. But there's two different things, you know, running a skating rink and being a speed coach.
Yeah.
It's a business and it's a coach. Yeah. And I enjoyed both. And, you know,
I liked you better as Coach John than I did as rink owner John.
You know what? What's,
I hated you.
What really makes me feel good.
He made me leave the floor. He wouldn't let me skate because I wanted to skate 13 and up and I was only 12. And he would kick me off the floor. He'd sit me down. He'd grab the microphone off the wall. Chris, off the floor. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is my jam. Right? Tony, I want a high five. I want to get a slow dance with one of the girls on a couple skate.
Right,
no, John wouldn't love me. He kicked me out of there.
I can see him doing that too. And it was well deserved, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was.
It's been great. It's been great. And as far as the speed skating, that was, you know, I was pretty athletic as a kid. And I think it's all about influences, you know. And I was influenced by a great coach who just recently passed away. If any people out there listening, John Gaughan, he was a principal at Dwinger and Bishop Lures. And that guy there. And I think coaching is about him. You know, everybody's not going to be a world skater, but everybody can get. I don't think coaches understand how important it is and what kind of influence they can have on a kid. I know what kind of a influence, you know, the coach that I had on me, not only in sports, but just in life in general, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's I think it's a pretty neat thing, and you can do a lot. Boy, you can do a lot for kids, and, you know, I get kids coming back now that are in their 40s, and, Chris.
Ding, ding, ding.
And older than him, even.
Yeah.
But, you know, they'll come back and say, oh, man, what an experience that was. You know, that was some of the greatest days of my life. And that really, you know, that hits my heart. So that's great.
When did you get into coaching?
I was probably in my 20s, and when speed skating, you know what, here's the thing. There was another person coaching at the rink. I was actually running the rink under my father then, and I went out to a rink, I think I went out to a speed meet at Roar Dome South, I believe it was, and I watched, I think it was Tim Cadwell. He was the, you know.
Yeah.
He was a big... He's a big boy in skating in those days. Uh-huh. And I thought, man, this is pretty neat, you know. And, you know, me into sports and the competitiveness of it, I said, man, I think I might get involved in this. I think I could do this. I think I could make some athletes out of these kids. And just like I said, it all goes back to the coaching and the practice and the influence that I had by a outstanding person who is now gone. So, oh, yeah.
Now, what were some of the things when you were a coach? What were some of the principles, I guess, that you really believed in, the foundation or the building blocks of your coaching strategy?
I would say it's
run hard.
Yeah.
Go. It's
turn
not,
left.
No stops.
It's not always winning. That's the most important. But what is very important is trying to win. You know, other words, it's an effort. It's all, you know, it's like anything. It's anything in life, you know, your job, your marriage, your sport. It takes an effort. If you don't put in effort, it's not gonna happen.
I watched him practice. Not to me, by the way. I watched him at practice tell a kid, "Take your skates off and get out." And everybody just looked like, "Oh my God!" And he's whoever you are. Whoever you are, I have four other kids in line for your spot. I don't need you. You need this team. I don't need you. Get out. If you don't want to put in the effort, get out. And I was like, I'm putting the effort in because I'm not leaving.
So that's a true story then.
That is a true story, yeah.
So one of the things I always heard, because I never did have the privilege of learning underneath you. Mm-hmm. I never had you as a coach. But I have always heard that in the middle of a drill, if a skater wanted to like stop or get off the floor during the drill,
hell's breaking loose.
That was the end of practice. Yeah. At that point, it's like, all right, you went off the floor. Well, you're done.
I used to have kids. You know, it's funny you brought that up because I can remember kids, you know, the timeout thing. They do the big T. Timeout. And, you know, like I'd say I'd have a 30 lab drill or something like that. And the kid would be going, timeout, coach, timeout. I said, no, timeout. But yeah, it's just little things like that really. That you look back on, that's pretty neat. It was fun.
It is neat because I wasn't on the receiving end of that. Yeah. It's very neat, yes.
Well, I made it serious. I made it to be if you're going to do it, let's do it. If you don't want to do this, go home and watch TV or play ping pong or something. But if we're here, we're going to do this. This is
I'm
what
not
we're
using
doing.
Ping pong, but I always tell everybody, if you want it easy, go do chess.
There you go.
You
do
can sit down
like that.
And you can play chess.
Okay, put your feet up if you want to.
Put your feet
up.
You don't have to worry about your feet hurting.
And, you know, it's just all about making them later on. I think there's so much more to coaching than just the product of the speed skating. Or, you know, it's like school. You know, if you're studying, if you're training to be a skater or baseball player or soccer player, just give it your best. You know, if you're for like education, people that want to be doctors, well, they're not just going to be able to go study an hour a night and be a good doctor. You know, they got to put in the time and the effort and the hard work. Hard
what
work
was the
will
last
pay off.
Year you coached?
Oh, last my season, goodness gracious. It was probably.
He is an old guy.
Geez,
so.
I don't remember. Right when the inlines. Oh. Let me see, it's 2017 right now, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I would say
that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Unless you're somewhere else.
I don't know, probably 15 years ago, wouldn't you think? Or maybe more, maybe 20?
It wouldn't have been like early 80s.
I would say early
80s. Late 80s, maybe.
I know the big skating was probably in, I would say through the 70s and early 80s.
Right.
That's when it got really big, yeah.
It was probably the late 80s, I would assume. When was it that, because you went out there with a couple other guys, with Dan and was doing
Yeah, Dan Steinman, some of those guys. Zach Parker was there, if you remember. Yeah. Zach, his dad was kind of.
It was bigger before them guys.
Yeah, because when I got out there at this point.
When was that?
That was probably 2001.
Okay.
So I knew you because, again, you were the owner of the rink.
Right.
But it was.
That's when Rob Dunn and the Loffers and them guys skated. That was. When them guys were like senior men, boy, that was really big. You know, like our
Wait
state.
A minute. You're saying when Rob Dunn was a senior man?
When he was a senior man.
You know, he's like an old guy now.
He is an old guy, but he's young compared to me. But anyway, he's getting up there. But, it was that era.
You know, he coaches
era.
Derby.
No,
Rob
I can
Dunn
believe
does.
That. Yeah, he's been in skating his whole life, And he was good, and he was coached by, who influenced him was probably Virgil.
It was Virgil.
Virgil was,
Virgil Dooley.
Yeah, and that's the guy that I always kind of looked up to.
Yeah.
And I've heard that name
he
quite
always,
a bit
oh,
from
he
you.
Had such a great team, and they actually came down and practiced with our club one night, and I said, Virgil, I said, what am I, you know, he just stood back and he watched my practice. And I said, I said, what do you think of my practice? Because I looked up to this guy. And he said, John, he said, you ran a great practice. He said, the drills you ran was perfect. Everything, you know, this is coming from the top of the line coach back in the day. And then he said, it's not what you do it. It's the intensity that you have these kids do it at. Mm. Mm-hmm. And that really struck me. Wait a minute. I'm doing the right things. Maybe I'm not pushing, you know, I'm not pushing enough. So then I got into it and I started, you know, it's learning. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, you get better. These guys that coach any sport, they don't start out by, you know, you start out as a high school coach and maybe you might get to go to college. And if you get real good in college, you might get to go to the NFL or whatever. But you got to start somewhere. And that was kind of my start that really helped me, you know, get going and doing things that would really produce the athlete that they needed to be competitive, yeah.
And you want to hear about an amazing sequence of events on how it works. So Virgil Dooley was a man that John looked up to and arguably one of the best mm-hmm. coaches, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And Virgil Dooley coached Rob Dunn, who later became his successor.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob Dunn coached.
And who was successful.
It was very successful.
Yes.
Who in turn coached Jay Ingram. And Jay Ingram took over
right.
for Rob Dunn, who Coach Chris comes along to coach Bell Speed Club for mm-hmm. John. And I looked at Jay Ingram as a mentor for me.
There you go.
And so the same prodigy of skating influence from Michigan and the coaching bloodline, as you will, that's been passed down, started up there, and it passed down to you, and it continues passing down through me. So is that amazing? Because we call the Wolverines our sister club, and we work a lot with them. And I had no clue that that was actually you as well did the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that kind of crazy?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of rinks around that we could have went to and talked to people or whatever.
Yeah.
But we both, and that was through no instruction of John. That was just what I did.
I think what I'm hearing, though, is when Coach Chris is yelling at me, I can blame you then, John.
Yeah,
I think that's really
absolutely.
How it all works, right? Yeah, it kind of all ties together. I got a long list of people I can be mad at.
There you go.
Well, you know what it is I'm just venting back at everybody like I got vented.
Okay, that's what it is, yes. Sharing the love, right?
Yes, that's what they call it.
Now, I'm curious, John. I mean, you were in during the heyday. What was it like? How big was it like back then?
Oh, it was absolutely huge. I mean, now I think the kids go directly to regionals.
Yes.
Correct.
State meets.
But then
quads go right to nationals.
See, in previous skating, it all started out with a state meet. And it was our state meet was very, very tough to get out of.
How many people were at a state meet?
Oh, my goodness. Probably as many as they have at a nationals now. I would say back during,
jeez.
Like when they had, well, I had 103 kids that actually competed, you know, in a program back
off of your
then,
team.
Just off of my team alone.
Yeah, and leagues today are lucky to skate 150, 170 at a meet total, every team there.
Right.
So you had 100 and how many?
Oh, 103, 104 skaters. And I had a lot of kids that come from...
Two-thirds of a meet he had on his team.
Wow.
Back
yeah.
in the day. And
yeah.
you weren't the only team like that.
Oh, no.
All
Franklin. Franklin was every bit as bigger than our team was.
Wow.
I mean, Franklin was a heck of a speed team, too. They were right up there with, I would say, the Michigan team.
Okay.
I would say it was Franklin. The teams that beat back then was Franklin. I would say Michigan. And then we were kind of in third place, so to speak, but I had skaters that were every bit. I had my competitive part of my team was probably sophomore and under. I didn't have a lot of the senior skaters that they had because they were in it longer. You know, they, you know, it takes a while. You know, you take like Chris's son here, Christian, you know, who's now on a fan tip, one of the top skaters in the world. Well, he started out as a, you know,
Scooby
juvenile
News.
Boy, you know.
Scooby News with the black, black and purple.
I've had a couple kids come out there already. I said, oh, my goodness. Like,
yeah.
a Turk boy. He skated for me, and he was, oh, I thought he was going to wipe out my whole team. I was about ready to say, geez, get out of here. You're going to kill all my skaters before they even get to regional. But you know what? That kid, he stuck with it, and he put in the effort, and he turned out to be, you know, he was no great champion, but he turned out to be a very competitive skater. And there's lots of other kids, too, you know, like Kirk Kramer and
Chris Dunlap.
Who still skates mock racing.
Yeah,
he's still. So, and I had a lot of, well, like Lori Potter and them kids who actually, I think, went on to play college basketball.
Yeah.
So I've had some really.
Tony Garcia was good.
Tony was pretty good. Yeah, he was a good skater. And, it's. It's kind of neat to look back and see, but, you know, it's a process getting to a certain, you know, to get in the real competitive
state. What was it like
state.
Coaching your son?
Oh, that's hard. That's hard.
He was a pain in the butt.
Yeah, but you know what? Like you, you're probably harder on him than you are the rest of the kids.
Yes.
And, some people can do it. That was kind of hard for me to coach my own kids.
Yeah.
But they're phenomenal skaters, so there you go.
Right.
So something works, so right. Yeah. But yeah.
By the way, Eric still owes me laps.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I'm never going to get him, so I'll never have to worry about him not owing me, because he's going to owe me those laps until he dies.
So John, you've been involved, because you saw how big it was, where the state meets were almost as big as what nationals currently is. You had to go through states just to get to your regionals and whatnot. Yeah. Now almost you can pass through directly to nationals, inlines or otherwise. Do you have any ideas to what maybe caused this drop-off to happen?
I would say, oh boy, that's a tough question.
Yeah,
I know personally what I think.
Issues.
What's your personal opinion?
My personal opinion, I think they got to get the right people involved in the skating rinks.
In rinks?
No, I'm not talking about the skating business. We're talking about the sport of speed skating. A lot of the operators now, it's all about. See, I separate the two. I run my business and I was a coach, and it's two completely different. You know what I mean? Like when I have a school party or birthday party,
right.
And then I, you know, it's a whole different operation on how you approach those people compared to actually coaching a kid in a sport. And I think that's where you got to, you know, in order to be successful, you have to have a coach that makes it like a worthwhile ambition or a worthwhile motive that to keep this kid involved in it. And I think sports are very important for anyone, regardless what sport it is. You know, I just think it's important to get a kid involved in something. I know it keeps him, especially for a boy, you know, a guy, an active kid, they got to be involved. If they're not involved in that, they're going to get involved in other things maybe they shouldn't be.
Right.
But, you know, you keep them involved. You know, like when I was in sports, you know, I went to school, played football, played basketball, ran track, done it all in high school. And when I came home from school, I got something to eat and I went to bed.
Right.
Because I was just, you know, I was wore out. I was used up. So, and I think that's good. That's not bad for a kid.
You know, what I see today is it seems like skaters don't just walk off the street and say, I want to be a speed skater. I think they come from sessions.
Oh, sure.
And the problem that I personally see is inlines took over such a huge portion of speed skating that you don't have people just walking in going, I want to buy a $500 pair of inlines to skate session.
Yeah.
So if you don't have your quad skaters, it's your quad skaters that can skate quads on session skating and race. And then they can get good enough to buy a decent pair of quads. And then at some point they go, man, I really want to go faster like that kid over there on those inlines. And then they buy the inlines and they grow. So the reality is I personally feel like our team, and I always can tell when John himself and Eric, his son, when they're really ambitious about the team and when they're just kind of like sitting back and letting the team do its thing, because the team always has a good influx of skaters just by proxy of being at a rink. But when John and Eric go that every year there's a certain time frame where they go, man, we got to kick in because I don't like where this is at right now. So by itself, The team doesn't draw people by itself. Mm-hmm. It draws 1 or 2% maybe, but it doesn't draw big numbers. When John and Eric get excited and start pushing the team at all the people coming in, that's when we start getting that influx. As a coach, I see, and he'll stop me and say, hey, coach, come over here. I want you to see so-and-so that you met Friday or whatever.
Right, right.
And then next thing you know, you're getting those families of 2 and 3 and a mom and a son or a daughter and a mom or 5 kids from one family. That's when you start getting that growth. And I just wonder, I know he pushes it. I know that you're always trying to draw people in because it's a double-edged sword. I mean, let's face it, a rink owner that can get somebody at his facility 3 or 4 or 5 times a week is going to pick up more money on the business side of it because they're skating and they're a part of skating, as opposed to somebody who would rather just go to the park. So you're going to get some business, as well as you've always been about the sport as well.
Right, right. I noticed over the years that the kids that were really into the sport were not necessarily big session skaters.
Okay.
The real involved skaters that were really there to go to the Nationals and maybe, you know, skate on a Pan Am team or whatever they got going on right now. It's just like any other, you know, you take like baseball, you know, and expensive stuff. But, you know, I got thinking about that this afternoon when Coach Chris called me and said, hey, John, we want to do an interview. And I thought, man, what am I going to talk about? You know, I started jotting down little things on this paper I got here.
You haven't even looked
but
yet.
I'm not looking at it.
You don't need to.
I don't need to.
You don't need to.
But, you know, it's like, okay, take these kids that are on these baseball teams, the traveling baseball teams, and the traveling soccer teams.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really any more expensive skating there is. Because I know people, you know, you go buy baseball bats and mitts and this and that.
Yeah.
And
I've talked to hockey players, and they say they pay $1,500 at the start of the season. It covers the whole season, but they still pay $1,500 right at the start of the season.
Yeah, it's you know, it is expensive, and I try to help kids. I mean, we'll give kids, you know, if I know a family that there's a kid that's really involved and really wants to be in it, I'll make sure that kid gets what he needs.
So this guy won't prop himself. He'll be nice right now. But what he's done is we have a skater on the team currently that John Dunlap has bought this kid his skates.
Wow, that's awesome.
And John
that
Dunlap
really
has
is
also
awesome.
Said, I'm going to pay for your amateur card next year. I'm going to let you have the rest of the season to develop, and next season I'm going to buy your amateur card so you can compete.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what we
that's,
have as a rink
that's
owner.
Nice.
And people don't realize, and I know there's a lot of rink owners that do that, but we have a very special rink owner that always looks out for the underdog or for the guy or the lady that maybe don't quite have what it takes in a sense of financially. He makes sure that nobody gets flushed out of the sport because of finances.
Right. I try, yeah.
That's awesome. That really is, because that's what you need.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's the one thing that I've seen with a lot of the athletes as well, too, is we're always willing to, hey, you know, you need to bump a set of wheels, here you go. Because it is expensive. It's expensive like every other sport. It is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But and anything you can do to kind of help offset some of that cost, and to have a rink owner like you, John, who will step up and say, hey, we've got a kid here who's got some great potential, and all he needs is a little extra to maybe get him over that hump, to give that to him, that's just amazing. That really is.
So I want to go back to, it's a dance hall, open pavilion. Obviously, it's a summer-only business because you can't do that in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So does it get walls right when it becomes a skating rink, or did it get walls as a dance hall?
Chris, that was in 1926. I'm sure they closed it in when they made a skating rink out of it.
Okay.
Because they couldn't have, you know, a floor.
I don't know. Diamond Jim's had skating all summer long.
Probably on cement.
Outside.
On cement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Is it the same wooden floor that they had then, or did you put a different floor on it for skating than the dance?
I'm sure there's, when I've done some work on the floor a couple times, there's probably 3 floors in there.
Where they
added it and added it and put another
all the
floor.
To go 3 times faster than what they think
right.
they can go.
Because there's 3 floors,
But, you know, you're talking from 1926 to now. Gee, many Christmas. That's a bunch of years.
He wants you to remember everything.
No,
I just
want
to remember parts of it. Just parts of it. They're like black holes, aren't they? They're so far back there.
It's just fascinating, though,
it's
to think
amazing,
of.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, to think of the rink that we're at, you know, multiple times
they
a week. It's like home away from home. Yeah. To think that was going on there a century ago. That's ridiculous. It's crazy. It really is. I think that's the last time the Cubs outside of last year won the World Series, right?
Right, John right. Murray there you go. Back, yeah.
And I was thinking, it's like, okay, what was more recent? Their last World Series, 2016, notwithstanding, or when Bell's was actually
there
built?
There you go. Yeah, probably pretty close.
So we had three rinks in town. Currently, yes. We have two rinks in town. At that time, was Bell's the only skating rink, or was there still the competitors across town about the same
Bell's
time?
Bell's was the first rink.
Okay.
And I believe the four. I might be wrong, but boy, I put 99% on that one.
Okay.
I think we were the first. Well, our number is IN1.
Well, that's
if that
new
means
stars.
Anything,
well,
if
that's
that means anything,
yeah,
well,
that
it's
means
always
we
been
were,
that. That was
we
back
were the first ones that got carded
when they just had the USA, you know.
Okay.
RSROA. But yeah, I think we were the first ones in the Fort Wayne area.
Okay.
And then I think. There was a Crease rink. There's Roar Dome North. They were, I think we were before them.
Okay.
And then South, that was built.
Later.
That was built quite a bit later, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
Crease was, you said at one time, that burnt down, didn't it? Or it caught on fire or something?
I think they tore it down. It was, yeah.
Was that on Calhoun Street?
That was right across from the mall out there. What street is that?
Glenbrook?
Right there, yeah. Remember the... Well, by Mike's Car Wash.
Okay.
You go down a ways, like you're going towards Fort Wayne,
mm-hmm.
and it lays right in that area.
On Clinton?
I think it's Clinton, yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'm getting the history lesson here today.
You know, Crease Rink, believe it or not, there's a sign, a plastic sign or whatever that had a lights behind it. It said Crease Rink. It actually still sits leaning against a barn out at the Conservation Center,
really?
Our reception hall out on, east of New Haven.
I did not know that. All right.
If you go to that reception hall, as you're driving down, you look over, there's a barn and there's a sign that says Crease Rink.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome. If you're out that way, get a picture.
I will.
I got to get a picture of that. I'm going to have to go out there myself and take a look at it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So Lynx came and went.
Lynx, yeah, it wasn't around too long.
Couple years,
yeah. Maybe 5 or 6 years.
I tell you what, Bell stands the test of time, doesn't it?
It keeps on going.
It's a strong
landmark.
Team, well respected. How does it feel, John? Because when we were talking about Christian, Coach's son earlier, who is a multiple time world team member. I mean, it's got to be pretty cool knowing that you've got one of the best skaters in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Out of your rink.
Yeah. Christian. But if you look how that kid trains. He didn't just automatically get that. He worked. He paid the price. He skated and...
His ass paid the price.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he's got a little road rash, yeah. But, it's just like... it's just effort. He put all the effort, he put all the hard work, and it paid off for him.
Yeah. And, you've seen it. You've seen the whole process.
I've seen him when he couldn't even go around the rink without falling 5 times. And now look at him. But, he wanted it. Like Coach Chris or me as a coach, you can coach all you want, but unless the individual really wants it themselves, you got to have somebody that – you got to have the coach and you got to have the will on behalf of the athlete,
And we talk about that a lot on Skate Talk with a lot of the athletes and the coaches where it's like the athlete has to make that conscious decision to put the work in to say, this is what I want. And, you've seen it. I mean, you've seen a world team member, like you said, who couldn't even skate a lap on the floor.
Right.
Who is now representing our country in international competition.
Right.
And that's pretty crazy to see that kind of growth. But like you said, it was the work that he put in to get him to that point.
Absolutely.
Well, the team, actually, the skaters that are the true, they're not there just for social. They're not there just to be a fast session kid. The kids that really are there, we always have these discussions, and I always bring up that we're skating and we're participating through a legacy that goes all the way back to when Coach John was coaching. And I bring that forward, and I say, Chris Dunlap was, quote-unquote, the fastest kid on 8 wheels in our area. And they did newspaper articles, and they had clippings of him skating and all these articles that was written about him. And I tell everybody that when you skate, every skater that's ever skated out of our rink, all the true speed skaters, whether they're here, whether they're living, whether they're in the sport or not, their sweat, their heart, their blood, their tears are all here.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's an emotional thing for me. You know, this is where when Christian made World Team, you know, argued he was the first World Team member out of Fort Wayne.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think the first World Team member out of Indiana. If not, there was only maybe a couple before him. But I know for sure the first one out of Fort Wayne. I know Aaron Geddes, who's a Bell speed skater as well, was the first NSC member out of Indiana, as well as out of Fort Wayne, New Haven area. So we've had multiple national champions that keep carrying on that spirit of, you know, and not every coach is going to have a national champion every year, especially if you're only taking a handful of skaters to the national competition. You take 100 kids, chances are you're going to have a handful of national champions. When you take 10, it's hard to get them. Last year, we ended up coming home with 4 national champions. And I always tell everybody that, you know, coach, you did a great job. No, I just led these kids and these adults in a direction. They did all the work.
Yeah.
They did all the work. They put all the effort into it. And I really believe everybody can be a national champion if they really want it. They can be it.
Got to put the work in, right, John?
Got to put the work in. And, you know, one thing about speed skating, they're not just competing against local, like the baseball teams. So, I mean, these kids will skate against kids in California and Texas, North Carolina, Florida. So you're getting the best from the United States. So that...
Yeah.
That makes it pretty tough.
You got to put the work in.
You got to put a lot of work in to be successful in anything.
I tell you what, John, this has been fantastic. We've got to get you back. We have got, it's like, I know you had stuff that was prepared, which I don't even know what was on that list. We'll deal with that the next time that you're in. But you're more than welcome to join us in the Skate Talk studios because there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
3 hours talking with my wife and rehashing memories to make sure I got it right. And we didn't let him talk about any of it.
I missed a lot of stuff. All right, well, that's all right.
Keep that paper, all right? And you're more than welcome to guest host if either Chris or I can't be in the show. You're going to have to be the guest host to come on in and do this, all right?
That would be great.
John, I just want to say, as someone who skates at your rink and has done that for a number of years now, thank you for everything that you do because you really take care of the speed team and you treat us such in such a top-notch fashion, and that's awesome of you to do.
I appreciate that comment. Thank you.
I think if every rink owner would give 50% that John gives to the team, we would blow up again and have those numbers back in the 70s and 80s.
You know, I just want to say, and I know we've probably gone on like double the length of most of our Skate Talk episodes, which is fine, but the one thing that John does, which is really cool, is, you know, he'll show up at the speed practice.
Yes.
And talk with the athletes to see how they're doing, last meet was. Yes, give advice. Tell us this. Tell us that. Say, hey, nice job. I heard you did this. I heard you did that. That's really cool because you are invested in what we do as athletes, and that's why it's really cool to be able to say that we skate for Bells and that we're able to wear the suits with the Bells logo on that. So that means a lot to us.
Yeah, and believe it or not, oftentimes myself and John have conversations on the way coming home from meets. If I'm not coming home too late, we have discussions and he wants to know how every athlete did. And you know, it truly is in his heart. And the speed team for him has never been about making a quick buck. Because if it was about making a quick buck, I think he's in the hole pretty deep because he spends more money for the team than what he makes off the team, that's for sure. So I wish and I hope that more rink owners can do what John's doing and Judy.
Yeah.
You know, his wife Judy as well. We haven't really had a chance to talk about her, but the reality is every good man, there's a great woman behind him that keeps him good.
Oh, she keeps me in line.
She's an amazing lady as well. Maybe we'll be able to have an opportunity to get
her. Yeah, she can join us anytime, too.
She scares me, though. Yeah, she scares me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because she made me sit down.
That's awesome. We want her around more. That's all I got to say. If you can put coach in place, yes. So, John, thank you again. Open invitation anytime to join us here at Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.